Turn to two passages. The first is in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And the second passage is further deeper into the New Testament in Colossians chapter 1. John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. You have a Colossians 1, 1243? 1232? Okay, thank you. Sorry, my hearing is old. Thanks for that page number, though. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. This is what Paul wrote about Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now listen to this. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'll stop right there. He's speaking of Jesus, of course. And then John chapter 1, and it's really verses 1 through 5, not 1 through 15, and that's my fault. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are we're going to learn a little more about you this evening, and who you are, and have it confirmed to us from the confession, not only the confession, Lord, but in your word. Pray that we would worship you appropriately. Amen. You may be seated. I guess I'd start out this evening with a question, and it's maybe more of a question where you have to answer with a feeling. And I'm not big on that, but you kind of know how you feel about something sometimes. You may be thinking one thing, but you don't really feel that way. It's not really how your mind works. Here's the question. Do you worship Jesus Christ as God? Do you worship Jesus Christ as God? That's the question. Do you believe that he is indeed equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit? Or do you kind of in your mind subconsciously treat Jesus as like a little less than God? All right? The Father is one thing, but Jesus is a little less than God, and the Holy Spirit too. They're kind of God's helpers. Do you do that? You kind of feel like the Father is really God and that somehow the Son and the Holy Spirit, they're just helpers. Because it's not the case at all. And I fear that sometimes people feel that way when they worship God. And maybe I just have to blame myself and my own thoughts in the past, and I'm going to suggest to you that Jesus is fully God and fully deserving of your complete worship. Fully God. No other religion. And this is really how we differ from the rest of the religions throughout the world. No other religion on the face of the earth recognizes Jesus as God but Christianity. We alone recognize him as God. No other people on earth worship Jesus. except for Christians. We're the only ones who worship Jesus. And therefore, no other people, I say no other people on earth can fully understand and worship God. They cannot, except for Christians. The deity of Christ, that means the Godhead or the deity. I guess there's no better way for me to say it right now in my mind. The deity of Christ is a special revelation that we've been given as the Church of Jesus Christ. That He is indeed God and that He is to be worshipped. It's special revelation only given to His church. Do not be tempted by men's false religions to belittle Christ's deity. Sometimes when push comes to shove, we think, well, you know, you got the Muslims, they kind of recognize Jesus as a good man, a good prophet. You got the Jews, and they'll even go so far as to say, yeah, maybe God sent him for the sake of the Gentiles. And they'll recognize Jesus to a certain degree. The Eastern religions, they'll look at Jesus and say, well, he attained spiritual awareness. But Christianity is the sole religion that worships Christ as God. It says Jesus Christ is God, has always been. So do not be tempted to belittle Christ's deity in order to maybe get along with these other man-made religions. I'd like to read a few passages where the worship of Christ was practiced while He was even upon the earth. While He was still here within His first advent with us. Jesus Christ's deity, for instance, was recognized first at His birth. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, speaking of those kings from the east coming looking for the Christ child, we saw His star. After they had heard the king, speaking of King Herod, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with His mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped Him. They knew something many, many others did not know, and they took full advantage that God was there in their presence, and they worshipped Him. Jesus Christ's deity was recognized also by His own disciples. In Matthew 14, we have the story of this event. It said, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's You, Peter replied, tell me to come to You on the water. Come, He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. You of little faith, He said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Jesus Christ's deity is also recognized, and He was worshipped after His crucifixion and resurrection. In Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10, it says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, because they found an empty tomb, and ran to His disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, He said. They came to Him, clasped His feet, and worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell My brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see Me. These are examples, all examples of people worshiping Him as God. To be considered now, friends, an Orthodox member of Jesus Christ's church upon the earth, you must believe that He is God. You must believe that He is God. It is one of the creedal stipulations of orthodoxy. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is God, you're not a Christian. You are to be put out of the church. And mind you, there are many religions and cults that do not worship Jesus as God. And they are always looking for new members. So there's really no need to stay within the church if you don't believe it, if you know what I mean. You might as well find that church, or I should say cult or religion, that does come in line more with your thinking on the matter. I don't think any of us have these problems. I'm just saying that's... In the Belgic Confession, okay, Article 10, which is our article tonight, Guido de Vries, who wrote the Confession, writes that Jesus Christ is the true eternal God. That's the heading of the Confession. The Confession says specifically in that first section that we read that Jesus is co-essential and co-eternal with the Father. He's always been, and it's mandated, it's just the way things are, co-essential and co-eternal. And then it also says equal unto Him in all things. Then basically what de Vries does is he supports the idea with Scripture. And we read through the latter half of that article, and it was all the apostle says this, the prophet wrote that, to support the claim that Jesus is the true and eternal God. That's what Article 10 is about in a nutshell. Okay, let me read the first part of the article to you quickly again. We believe that Jesus Christ, according to His divine nature, is the only begotten Son of God, begotten from eternity. Eternity. Not made, nor created, for then He would be a creature. That's what de Vries says. If He was made, He's a creature. He's not the Creator. And that's not the case. But co-essential and co-eternal with the Father, the very image of His substance and the effulgence of His glory, equal unto Him in all things. He is the Son of God, not only from the time that He assumed our nature, in other words, when He was born as a baby in the manger, not only from that, or conceived in Mary, maybe, not only from that time, but from all eternity. As these testimonies, when compared together, teach us. And then he goes into telling us what those testimonies are. So Jesus was from eternity. He was not made at a given point. In other words, He's not a creature. And if He is not a creature, then by default, He's the Creator. Anything that's not the creature is the Creator. Because everything's been created by the Creator. And everything that's been created is considered a creature. So if He's not a creature, He's the Creator. In previous sermons, okay, we mentioned there was a man, a heretic named Arius. He was at one point involved with the church. He was a Christian priest in the 4th century in Alexandria, Egypt. And he taught that Jesus was not one substance with the Father after all. There had been a time before the Son of God, is what Arius believed. A time before He existed. Well, if there was a time before He existed, then He was created. Arius taught that Jesus Christ was not eternal, and so Jesus Christ was not God. This was a bit of a fresh controversy in the church, fresh in the sense of it brought things to a head for the first time. Up to that point, Jesus was referred to as the Son of God, God taken on human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. And Arianism forced the church to develop a creed that stipulated what we're discussing here tonight. But Arius wasn't alone. There's been others, just like the Greek mythology creature Hydra, which is that serpent-like creature with many heads that if you cut off one head, another head grows back in its place? Well, it's just the same in church history. Arius's heretical teaching is put out of the church in the early centuries, but it comes back into the church again. And Calvin had to confront Servetus, the heretic Servetus, as he bring that same teaching back into the church. Servetus is treated as a heretic, and the doctrine is then resurrected. The head grows out again in the form of the Jehovah Witnesses. Jehovah Witnesses in our day deny the deity of Jesus Christ. We don't consider them, never have considered them part of the church. Thanks to the creeds and confessions that we've clung to. So Article 10 cements for us an important teaching. Jesus Christ is the true and eternal God. He was never created because He has always been. Now, do you worship Him that way? In your mind, you worship Him as fully God? Or do you kind of back it off a little? He is one of the helpers. You shouldn't. Where do we go for scriptural support? It's where the confession goes next. It cites its proof and builds the argument as we read the following. And I'm just going to read little snippets from the confession in order, the way Guido de Bries wrote them. He says, Moses says that God created the world. Comes right from Genesis 1:1. The die is cast in the first book of the Bible, first sentence. And we agree, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. That's what de Bries was getting at. And Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So Moses said, God created the world. Creation is the act of God. The Creator created the heavens and the earth. This is a given for us. This is also a given for the Jews. However, Judaism is excluded now because of further revelation, because of what Jesus Christ, the God-man, did accomplish on our behalf. And we're directed by the confession to the next point, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, something the Jews will not accept, the Gospel of John. Here the confession cites another text. De Bries writes, and St. John says that all things were made by that Word, which he calls God. St. John calls Him God, the Word. I want you to turn real quick to John chapter 1 again, if you're not still there. John 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, and I'll spend a little time on this section of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And you'll be reading on in that chapter. You'll see that the Word is then definitely synonymous or connected to Jesus Christ. All right. Matthew Henry explains what the Apostle John is saying here in verse 1. Henry writes, this bespeaks His existence, not only before His incarnation, but before all time. Jesus Christ existed before all time. In the beginning was the Word. I added those little parts there, not to give Matthew Henry that problem. The beginning of time, Henry writes, in which all creatures were produced and brought into being, found this eternal Word in being. He was already there before everything came into being. In other words, the phrase in the beginning means before anything was created. Before anything was created. In the beginning means prior to any creating. And the Word was back there. He was in the beginning. And of course, the sentence continues. Okay? And it brings even more clarification and claims about the Word. It was with God, was God. But before we consider any more, we should just stop and see that John Calvin, as I mentioned, had to respond to Servetus, the heretic, in his day. And John Calvin, dealing with this little verse in Scripture, John chapter 1, verse 1, says this, Servetus, a haughty scoundrel belonging to the Spanish nation, he's talking about this guy, Servetus, a haughty scoundrel belonging to the Spanish nation, invents the statement that this eternal word, speech he called it, this eternal word began to exist. He began to exist at that time when he was displayed in the creation of the world. In other words, when God was saying, let there be, that's when the word began to exist. That's what Servetus claimed. That's when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into existence. He began to exist at that time when he was displayed in the creation of the world as if he did not exist before his power was made known by external operation. Very differently, Calvin says, does the evangelist teach in this passage. For he does not ascribe to the Word a beginning of time, but says that he was from the beginning and thus rises beyond all ages. And then Calvin says this, I am fully aware how this dog barks against us and what cavils were formerly raised by the Arians. In other words, Calvin's saying this Servetus is just like Arius. It's the same false teaching over again, robbing Christ of his deity. So both Henry and Calvin suggest that the phrase in the beginning is indicative of the eternality of the Word. They do not believe that the Word had a starting point, that he was created before the rest of creation. Okay, first the Word comes into existence and then he creates. That's a false teaching. That's a different religion. Rather, they believe he was the creator, existed before the beginning of time. Does that make sense, somewhat? No heads nodding about it. Okay. I think the remainder of the sentence, John 1:1, okay, should thwart other attempts to rob Christ of his deity. For the apostle writes, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in the very next verse, John writes, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And I believe this was actually the connection that the Belgic Confession was trying to make. All right, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And here in John 1:1, all things that have been made have been made by the Word, and nothing that has been made has been, you know. That's the big connection here, that the Word was the Creator. According to Moses and according to the Apostle, God created all things. The Word created all things. It's kind of like if God created all things and the Word created all things, the Word is God. If A equals B, and B equals C, then A equals C. It's kind of a somewhat simple logical deduction. I think that was DeBries's point. This is a logical deduction. Anyway, let's look back into the confession as the argument begins to build. The apostle says, the confession says, the apostle says that God made the world by his Son. Likewise, that God created all things by Jesus Christ. I think this is coming directly from Colossians, the passage I read before, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, where Paul teaches, he, speaking of Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This is Jesus Christ that's being presented. We learn that Jesus created both the visible and the invisible, verse 16. And we learn that Jesus was before all things, verse 17. And finally, that He holds all things together. Now, how does God do that? I should say, how does a creature do that? You don't steal that away from God. Yet if Christ was Himself created, then we must understand this text in Colossians to have an exception. If Christ was indeed created, that means that Christ did not create all things visible and invisible. Or He created all things visible and invisible except for Himself, which must have been created right before all those things that were created visible and invisible. But of course, why would we need to do the gymnastics? Okay, you begin to realize that people are just trying to be creative with the text in order to steal away Christ's deity from Him. Because it's really quite clear that these words are being said about Jesus Christ. That He is God, that He is the Creator of all. De Bries continues in the confession. He writes this: therefore, it must needs follow that He who is called God, the Word, the Son, and Jesus Christ, did exist at that time when all things were created by Him. Therefore, the prophet Micah says, His goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Here, De Bries, he takes a messianic prophecy from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, about the place where the Christ child was to be born. And I'm going to read you that whole little verse. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. De Bries says from everlasting, which of course would mean that this ruler has origins apart from space and time. Before space and time. The confession's final proof says this: and the apostle, he hath neither beginning of days nor end of life. He therefore is the true, eternal, and almighty God, whom we invoke, worship, and serve. That's how the confession ends. And the text that the apostle, that De Bries is referring to is Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, where Jesus Christ is compared as our high priest to Melchizedek, the priest mentioned in the Old Testament. In the verse, Hebrews 7, 3 says this: without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, He remains a priest forever. That's kind of the mystery behind Melchizedek. No father, no mother, no genealogy. Where did He come from? Well, the same is said of Jesus Christ, that He is a priest forever. And Melchizedek was like the Son of God in that manner. No beginning of days, no end of life. It's a portion of Scripture in which Christ is compared to the Old Testament priest Melchizedek. Like Melchizedek, Jesus Christ had no beginning of days or end of life, but remains our high priest forever. So, the wise men from the East, they were right to worship the child in the home there. And it's good that the disciples, they fell down in the boat and exalted their God. And the women outside the tomb, you know, and they were excited and fearful when they came to Jesus, and they clung to His ankles and they began to worship. And that was a good thing. Fully deserving. He's fully God. That they would stop and adore Him is proper. That hydra's head, okay, that snake head that you cut off, grows back out again. It's really found today, probably most prevalent in the Jehovah Witness, the cult, the Jehovah Witnesses. This is what they believe about Jesus. They falsely believe this. Christ, they say, is Lord and Savior, but not God. He is Lord and Savior, but not God incarnate. Not a God-man, but inferior to God. Inferior. Not a part of the Godhead. They say he was a created spirit being. This is what they believe. A created spirit being. But yet the scripture informs us that Jesus is indeed fully God, fully deserving of our worship. Yet no other religion will accept this claim. I'll tell you that. Don't give in. And don't you yourself worship him as less than God, even if it's in your weird way. No other religion will accept this claim. Arius would not have him. Servetus would not have him. And the Jehovah Witnesses will not have him either. The deity of Christ is special revelation and recognized only by his church. Remember that. Never be tempted by man's false religions to belittle Christ's deity. Never shy away from worshiping him yourself either. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are not only King of Kings, you are very God of very God, not made. We recognize that. Heavenly Father, you have been so gracious in sending your Son. Lord Jesus, so magnificent and wonderful to have you come to earth to take on flesh and to still remain in that flesh, resurrected in a resurrected body. You are our high priest, our brother. And Holy Spirit, you've been sent by the Father and the Son, and you indwell us and you give us strength and you clean us and you teach us as we live here upon the earth. Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, and we love you. Amen.